of the morning, New Falls Corp. versus LeHay. Wait just a moment until the side gets settled. You can go ahead, Mr. Landry.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. I represent New Falls Corporation, which is the creditor in this bankruptcy appeal. There are two plans that we're talking about. There's one bankruptcy case. We're talking about a plan that was confirmed in a prior bankruptcy case and the effect that that has on the obligation that we're called upon to look at in this case. I wanted to jump back and let you know, before the first bankruptcy, what was the obligation? We had two promissory notes executed by LeHay Enterprises. Those promissory notes were secured by a security agreement on property of LeHay Enterprises. It was secured by the personal guarantees of the individuals, Richard and Cindy LeHay, and it was secured by a mortgage. That mortgage was granted by both LeHay Enterprises and Cindy and Richard LeHay on two pieces of property. One property was owned by LeHay Enterprises. One property was owned by Mr. and Mrs. LeHay. That's where we were when the first bankruptcy was filed. The question that we have to address first is, what did the bankruptcy plan in the LeHay Enterprises case do to the obligation? How was the obligation modified? Or to what extent was it modified? The bankruptcy plan proposed that there would be the two promissory notes would be treated separately. Both claims would be allowed, one for $280,000, one for $46,000. There would be a secured claim as to one note for $220,000 and a secured claim for the other note for $5,350. There would be an unsecured claim for the remaining balance. That was the plan that was confirmed. But the question that Your Honors have to look at is, what is the res judicata effect of that plan on the claim that was subsequently made when Mr. and Mrs. LeHay filed their own Chapter 11? It becomes very important because there are a lot of issues that have been raised here.
But do we even have to get to res judicata? I mean, what about Section 1141A, which says, I mean, clearly if the company had, you'd received a distribution from the company in the first bankruptcy for $225,000, the individuals would no longer be on the hook for that. Your debt would be, or the amount you're owed would be reduced. So why isn't it the same here? It's just property, but the bankruptcy court in the first bankruptcy said it's worth X and it's a reduction in the debt. Well, why aren't you bound by that?
Because we didn't receive the distribution. We did not receive it. Under the terms of the plan, and I need to read this, the confirmation of this plan will constitute relief from the automatic stay to allow the debtor in New Falls to engage in such transactions as are necessary to carry out the provisions of the plan and the treatment of this class and the transfer of any assets, or to allow New Falls to foreclose its mortgage on the property. Now, in order to get that credit that was applied, that was provided for in the plan, the property would have had to come back to New Falls, either by way of a voluntary transfer or by way of a foreclosure proceeding. What we need to know is, what did the plan not do?
First, you instituted a foreclosure proceeding, I think your client, but what is also against some other property that they had, so that's why it hasn't gone through?
Again, the mortgage encumbered two pieces of property. After this plan was confirmed, we filed an executory proceeding against both properties because they were in one mortgage. And under Louisiana law, mortgage is indivisible. That one mortgage allowed us to proceed to foreclose on both properties in one proceeding. What the plan is argued to have done is it's argued to have reduced the LAHEY's guarantee obligation to $100,000. What it did not do, and there's no argument that it did, is reduce or change the LAHEY's mortgage obligation. That's how we get to Sandy Ridge. Because in Sandy Ridge, your honors made it clear that bankruptcy, unless otherwise provided in the plan, operates only as to the debtor. So the plan that we're confronted with here says, in order for LAHEY Enterprises to be entitled to a credit, it has to engage in such transactions as are necessary to carry out the provisions of the plan, or we have to foreclose. So as of today, that hasn't happened. So how does Sandy Ridge impact that? And why would the valuation that was made in 2015 simply not be applicable? Remember, Your Honors, that the obligation of third parties, in this case Cindy and Richard LAHEY, cannot be changed by the bankruptcy unless it's provided for in the plan. Okay, so in this case, the mortgage obligation remains and the debt remains, and if the debtor and another third party who was responsible, upon confirmation of the debtor's plan, it does not impact this other third party's in rem or in personam obligation, then we have to find in this plan a provision that says what it doesn't say. It could have said the plan will transfer property free and clear, or it will require within so many days that the parties execute a document, but the plan doesn't say that. The plan says, it's confirmed, go ye forth and do a deal, and when you do the deal, this is the credit will be applied. That is the what is before the court, and what the court is, and the bankruptcy court was asked to apply the concept of res judicata. So what happened? At the time that the LAHEYs filed their bankruptcy, Mr. and Mrs. LAHEY, the foreclosure proceeding was pending. We had begun that proceeding just as the plan allowed, but we had not concluded it. We filed a proof of claim in the LAHEY's bankruptcy that basically said the debt is the debt. Both promissory notes, full amount, all of the interest, and we are secured under Louisiana law by the mortgage. And that mortgage encumbers Mr. and Mrs. LAHEY's personal property, immovable property, but property they own.
It seems to me the issue isn't so much, I mean, you seem to agree that if the property had been transferred, then you would be stuck with the value given in the first bankruptcy. So it seems to me the key issue here is what was the triggering event for that reduction in the debt? So I'm looking at the LLC, the first bankruptcy. The plan says the LAHEY shall be entitled to a partial release of the guarantees of the debt upon confirmation of this plan in an amount equal to the value of the property surrendered under the plan. The LAHEY shall therefore be liable only for the remaining balance of $100,000. Focusing on that language, tell me, because that's what they rely on, tell me why they you win with that.
Because there are two obligations that the LaHays have. Their guarantee obligation. That's their personal liability.
Right.
How much do they have to come out of pocket? Their property is also encumbered. It is mortgaged to secure LaHay Enterprises bankruptcy, LaHay Enterprises debt. And the plan did not modify that obligation. It gave them the ability to do it. It gave them the opportunity to do it. But they basically chose to stall.
Well, maybe the plan, I mean, maybe someone sort of objected to that plan and said, look, it shouldn't be, a partial release shouldn't occur upon confirmation, as the first bankruptcy plan said, but all these other things should have had to happen. I mean, it seems to me you're sort of saying that the language in the first plan was not proper or fair.
No, no, Judge, we're stuck with that. We're stuck with what's in this document. And what I'm saying is, let's read the document. Because the argument is the plan changed the guarantee obligation. And I'm saying, okay, what if it did? How does that change the mortgage obligation? It's a different obligation. One is in rem, one is in persona. Under Louisiana law, when you mortgage a property to secure the debt of another, which is basically what the LaHays did, that mortgage encumbers the entirety of the property for the full amount of the debt. So in order to discharge that, under Sandy Ridge, they would have been entitled, the LaHays, as the non-debtor, all of the things being equal, without the bankruptcy, if we had foreclosed on the LaHay Enterprises property, the debt would have been reduced by the purchase price at the sheriff's sale. Well, that sheriff's sale hasn't happened yet because of the automatic stay. And Mr. St. Germain has basically said, well, that's your fault. No, that's what is allowed by the process. One, as a secured creditor.
So you're saying it would only be reduced by whatever the sale is. Why isn't that contrary to the first plan saying it's reduced to $100,000?
It would be, see, again, two different debts. One is in persona, one is in rem. They could have written a personal check for $100,000 after this, and they would have been out personally. But their property would still have been encumbered to the full amount of the debt, less the $100,000 they paid. Okay, what they did not do.
This gets you back into Sandy Ridge, which I'm not sure how it helps you, because the case says that guarantors are not released from the unsecured sums, which in this case would be the $100,000 left over after crediting the value of the grocery store that the LLC surrendered. I don't see, if you're saying that it was really guaranteed and it was secure via the mortgage, then I'm not sure that the Sandy Ridge case helps you. So can you help us with that?
Certainly, Judge Elrod. In Sandy Ridge, Your Honors basically said that the discharge and the confirmation is limited in effect to the debtor. Okay? That would mean that mortgages granted by third parties to secure the obligation of the debtor would not be modified. What Sandy Ridge looked at was, in particular, a guarantee. In Sandy Ridge, you did not have a circumstance of the guarantors also mortgaging their property to secure the debt. That's where this is a little different, but the theory behind Sandy Ridge is the same. If the LaHays had wanted to obtain that discharge, they could have filed a joint petition or they could file consolidated petitions at that time. What they were trying to do was skirt that, and I think Your Honors have indicated that if you want the benefit of a bankruptcy discharge, you have to be the debtor. They weren't, so therefore, they're trying to force a round peg into a square hole when they would rely on a plan which they drafted, which basically says this credit is not going to, after the plan is confirmed, here's how we're going to progress. And then they didn't progress. So the other, The issue of res judicata is also interesting, but again, remember, the valuation of a piece of real estate. In this case, we've got $5,000 worth of movables and a bunch of real estate. But that valuation was as of the date that the first bankruptcy plan was filed, or as of the date of the confirmation. That was 2015. In 2016, when the LaHaye's bankruptcy is filed, that property is a different property. And the last thing, Judge, is the appeal on the confirmation, we've agreed that in the order confirming the plan, that if we are correct in our allegations concerning the claim objection, that we can reassert those arguments when the confirmation order is reversed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Not quite set with your clock yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we go.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Tom St. Germain. I represent Richard and Cindy LaHaye. I think the most important point is that the confirmed plan in the LaHaye Enterprises case is binding on New Falls and controls the issues in the Richard and Cindy LaHaye.
So why all these years later hasn't the grocery store land been turned over?
We offered to turn it over. We've offered to turn it over many times. We've offered to dash on it. We've offered to help them sell it. Nothing's happened.
Basically, no one wants it because the value's deteriorating. You have to maintain
correct.
It, and it's not productive
That's
land.
Correct. That's correct. And apparently, they don't want it because they don't like taking back commercial property because they don't want the liability, environmental liability, or whatever else may be lurking beneath the surface. But it has not been taken back. But
so his argument that, well, it's because you all have objected to the foreclosure proceedings. Why is that wrong?
No, we offered subsequently to give it back many times. We said, take it back. Take it, please. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. And we've actually, there was a time, if you look procedurally, and this really goes to settlement, but there was a time when this appeal was suspended. And the reason for that is we were trying to assist them with selling the property because they didn't want to take it back. So we said, okay, we'll try to help you sell it and see if we can work something out. That didn't work, so we're here today. So with respect
well,
to...
Well, let me ask about that. I don't think the case is going to turn on that. But when you look at the language that your friend on the other side particularly likes, confirmation will constitute relief. Two parties will engage in transactions that are necessary. Did that start happening immediately, and is there documentation of that in the record?
Did what start happening?
Well, what was supposed to happen after the confirmation of the plans, which is the two sides would engage in such transactions as are necessary to carry out the provisions of this plan. Is there some documentation of a month later, whatever else, that's in the record that here's what your client was trying to do?
Yeah, we attempted to...
Well, I'm asking, is that in the record?
Is it in the record? I believe it's in the record to the extent that it may be in the LaHaye Enterprises plan that we, you know, attempted to resolve this issue by, you know, there were settlement discussions that happened throughout to try to resolve this $100,000.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
With respect to... And as I indicated, either through Section 1141, res judicata, or collateral estoppel, the plan is binding on New Falls. And I think that Mr. Landry is here, agreed to that. And as the court...
Could you address that, the res judicata point? If we were to decide that res judicata is the appropriate doctrine for determining the effect of the OLC's bankruptcy on the subsequent... LaHaye bankruptcy. What is your best argument that the two bankruptcies present the same cause of action?
Well, they are different parties, as argued in the brief. They are different parties, but there's case law that indicates that if the LaHaye's interests were adequately protected in the LaHaye Enterprises bankruptcy, then that can be considered, they can be considered essentially the same party. And so for that reason, it's essentially the same case. Or we can go under collateral estoppel and say it's the same issue that was presented, and then there was an identity of parties because one was LaHaye's, one was their company, and it's 100%. The LaHaye Enterprises was 100% owned by the LaHaye's. So for those reasons, it could be, we believe, res judicata or collateral estoppel or Section 1141. As we indicated, the plan states that LaHaye's would receive a partial release of the guarantees upon confirmation. The court correctly earlier pointed out that this would happen upon confirmation, not upon transfer of the property. Thereafter, the only liability would be for the $100,000 remaining balance. In this language, there's no requirement that any foreclosure or other transfer of title is required for the release of to take effect, just confirmation of the plan. The LaHaye Enterprises plan was confirmed over Newfalls' objection, but the order was never appealed. So the plan's binding on Newfalls, and that's Schoaf and Eubanks, and Mr. Landry appears to agree with that as well. Typically, as shown in Sandy Ridge, typically a Chapter 11 plan can't release a third-party guarantor. However, if a plan is confirmed and contains a release, then the release will be effective and have res judicata effect. That's the holding in Schoaf. And Sandy Ridge explicitly recognized the exception to the general rule, which was contained in Schoaf. I also cited Espinoza.
I think this is all getting a little more complicated than it needs to be. I mean, clearly a guarantor is not discharged in bankruptcy. The guarantor is on the hook. That's the whole point of a guarantee. If the main, the main debtor goes bankrupt, you have a guarantee to go after someone else.
Right.
But what it's saying is, if the debt is reduced, the debt you guarantee is in a new amount.
Right. Right. In this one, it was not a complete release. It was a reduction to the $100,000, and the LaHaye's admit that was the debt they had to deal with, and that was they could not reach an agreement with Newfalls, and as a result, they had to file the personal Chapter 11 case. With respect to the argument that there's two liabilities somehow, that there's one liability for the person and then there's one liability for the land, I think pretty clearly the release provision in the LaHaye Enterprises confirmed plan reduces the liability on the notes, period. I don't see how there's any second liability that somehow survives and lies in wait in the mortgage. In addition, if any of the LaHaye Enterprises debt does survive, in other words, over and above the $100,000, then Newfalls is enjoined from enforcing it pursuant to Section 15.4 of the LaHaye Enterprises plan. The only thing that the Newfalls could enforce was the $100,000 remaining balance on their claim. Since the $100,000 was dealt, now this $100,000 was dealt with in the Richard and Cindy LaHaye confirmed plan, and Mr. and Mrs. LaHaye are making payments to Newfalls currently under that confirmed plan. I should point out one more thing, which is this argument that somehow there's an in personam and then there's an in rem liability, that there's this separation. This argument was not raised at the bankruptcy court level, and was only raised at the oral argument at the district court level. Therefore, it may not have been properly preserved for appeal. Finally, as we argued in the brief, Newfalls should be stopped from arguing that LaHaye Enterprises should not receive a credit for the return of the property because they have not disposed of the property in a commercially reasonable manner. As we previously discussed, the LaHaye's tried to turn over the grocery store and equipment, which has continued to depreciated value, but Newfalls has never accepted that return. And I'll answer any questions the court may have.
I think that's all we have, counsel.
Thank you.
You still have your 5 minutes.
So why hasn't your client taken the property?
Well, first off, Judge, to respond to Judge Southwick's question, they wouldn't do anything. They ignored us. until we filed our executory process proceeding. They just completely ignored us. They were supposed to, under the plan, pay their unsecured portion. They were supposed to pay it. They never did. So why hasn't my client? Because by the time that we were prepared to take it back, Your Honor basically hit the nail on the head. After a year, the property's been abandoned. It has not been used. It was a mess. Okay? So to respond to the concept of, did we make the argument before the bankruptcy judge? I don't think I could have made that argument more strongly. I said the mortgage is still valid as to the property. That's what I'm arguing here. The mortgage is still valid, okay? And maybe, I think the argument is clear in the mind of a Louisiana security rights attorney that the mortgage is a separate obligation from the guarantee. It is, and Your Honors can review the transcript, but clearly we raised that issue in there, the validity of the mortgage and the fact that we were still secured by that mortgage. And we also raised it very strongly in the district court, both in brief and in argument.
I guess I'm less concerned about what was raised below in this bankruptcy than why all these difficulties you're talking about weren't raised in the first bankruptcy of the LLC and telling that bankruptcy judge, look, this is going to be a mess. You shouldn't make this a credit effective on confirmation. This is going to be a big problem.
Well, Judge, again, that question can be asked to Lalahes, but we're there. Why was it done that way? Because we assumed that the parties would deal in good faith. And again, there's nothing in the record. Judge Southwick, there's nothing in the record to support whether my clients were in good faith, their clients were in good faith. But you can understand that if we're willing to take back a piece of property, okay, and we give it a value, we're ready to go, okay? And that's what the plan says, because I think, as I recall, the concept of doing transactions implies a Louisiana dachon en paiement, a giving in payment, a deed in lieu of foreclosure that would have happened almost immediately, because the Lahays had also announced their intention to file their own personal bankruptcy right after that, and, then the whole thing would be resolved. But it was up to both of us to come together, because we can't have a transaction without both. We inquired, we inquired, we inquired. Mr. St. Germain didn't become involved in this case until the Lahays filed their individual bankruptcies. The lawyer that we were dealing with that represented the enterprises stopped responding. So,
did the parties, did you avail yourself of the circuit mediation program that offers free mediation?
Yes, we did, Judge, and in fact, I didn't want to get into what.
I don't know what was said. I just want to know if you did
but
try.
Yes,
to do that.
We did, and that's why this is a 2019 case coming up for argument today. Any further questions, Your Honors?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judges.
The mediation program has worked sometimes,
but I appreciate, Judge, it has worked in other cases.
Apparently not.